This is Let's Get Drunk number 9, because I enjoy using inappropriately epic music for the intro. Oh, and are you guessed what it was from? He's getting after me on Skype. He's like, no! So, okay. Anyways. Okay, we won't use that again. I guess it is too long. But,
No, it's not.
50-second intro.
Super, yeah, appropriate, but it's not too long.
So this is Let's Get Drunk number 9. Astute listeners will note that Let's Get Drunk number 8 is missing from the archives. Go listen to Pure Decking. You can listen to me bitch about us getting fucked by one of our hosts. The recording didn't get backed up before the box fell down. So.
Well, did they at least reach around and tickle your nuts before they stuck it in?
Oh, God, no.
I'm so sad for you.
Yeah, but we've lost. We lost a Pure Decking. We lost a Let's Get Drunk. I don't think we lost anything else. Big said we didn't lose any IHNs. So, and all of Lore's stuff doesn't get recorded on our systems. He does his own recordings, so I doubt he lost anything. But anyways, so now that we've played the inappropriately epic music, which I think is from the Red Dwarf intro. We probably shouldn't even be using it, because it's probably copyrighted all to hell. But, who cares? Anyways, so, I guess to open with tonight, I've got an IPA that I brewed over the summer that I found a bottle of it in the back of my refrigerator, still unopened. And so it's been lagering for about 6 months. It's a, it's the Brooklyn Brewery, or Brew Shop, Brooklyn Brew Shop Everyday IPA was the recipe I used. So it is an IPA. And for a homebrew, it's probably because I let it sit for so long, but I mean, the clarity on this thing is perfect. It rivals commercial beers. So I'm impressed.
But, one of the big challenges with homebrew is to get it to actually clear out nicely.
Yeah, that one certainly did. So I'm going to actually give that full marks on its clarity here when I pull up in your scoring app, which, the hell? Tablets. I'm using a tablet at the moment because I'm too lazy to go get my phone, and it decided to open the camera app when I unlocked it as opposed to staying in the beer judging app. There we go. So clarity, color and clarity are good. We'll give those full marks. Head retention is good, so we'll give that full marks, which is strange for a homebrew, but I did use a recipe. It wasn't one of mine, so. Aroma is very, very hoppy. It is an IPA, and I remember when I brewed it, I overhopped it. So, malt's a bit low. 2 hops, 5, you can definitely smell the hops. Balance is way off, so what, 3, you think?
What's it out of?
10?
And that's pretty harsh. Maybe like a 5. Because, I mean, an IPA is supposed to be a little overhopped. Of course, I'm not smelling it, so I can't really make that call.
I can't smell any malt hardly at all. So, we'll go 5. You know, and I've already given you the clarity scores, so. I'm going to sit here and take a drink from this. Madman, what do you have to review? Do you have anything?
Actually, I'm going to try the Shock Top again just to see if it's grown on me. And I had some Bourbon Barrel Ale, which is just having on your tongue. So if the Shock Top still hasn't grown on me, I'll wash it away with good beer.
That's funny. I've actually got my second glass is Bourbon Barrel Ale. I was comparing the IPA to it for clarity. And lagering it for as long as I did, it really helped its flavor. I can actually taste the malt in it. I remember last time I opened these things up, they were so hoppy I couldn't taste anything else. But it's mellowed out, and letting it age for so long has really helped. So, I mean, the flavor's actually pretty good for an IPA. And I mean, I don't always go for IPAs. I usually prefer stouts, truthfully. But
so we'll give them... did you just like let it sit in your fridge?
I forgot about it. It was okay. Back behind. What happened was, remember I had that batch of the blackberry beer that went bad on me.
Yeah.
And of course, I wasn't putting labels on all the bottles. I was using Sharpie to mark the cap of which was which. Mm-hmm. And it just got mixed in with the others. And when I found, and when all those were in the back of the fridge and I was clearing them out because they were, you know, I'm not going to drink them, they were terrible, I found this bottle of the IPA. It was like, ooh. So I set that aside and I decided today was the day to open it up. Because the IPA was pretty good. I mean, it's an IPA. So, but as far as a homebrew goo went, it was pretty good. And so it had accidentally gotten mixed in with that other stuff.
I wonder if there's a difference between, lagering it in a refrigerator and lagering it in a basement. Make it better?
What do you keep your basement at?
Basement temperature? I don't know, like...
probably 65.
Yeah, 65, 70, something like that, yeah. Probably 65.
Well, I would assume the yeast is less active. So it would probably keep longer.
Yeah. But, well, and I hear you're supposed to get off flavors if you let it sit, like, on the yeast too long. And my normal plan to get rid of that is just to drink it really fast. But I wonder if leaving it in the refrigerator made it, like, significantly better.
Well, this one, it certainly helped, because the flavors, the hops have mellowed out a little bit, because it was a little bit over-hopped, even for an IPA, when I was opening them up. But I'm going to give the malt a 7 out of 10, because I can actually taste it in an IPA. And we'll give the hops an 8, because the flavor is actually pretty good. Balance, it's an IPA, it's supposed to be hoppy, so I'll say 15, that's probably fair. Aftertaste is a little sharp, so I'm going to hurt it a little bit there, too. Carbonation was perfect. I'll give it a 5. Body is... it's an IPA, so there's not that much body to worry about there. We'll give it a... what? I guess a 10. I don't have any problem with the body of the beer. So, overall impression. And it might be a little bit of nostalgia, too, because it's one that's been sitting around, and, you know, it's one I made, so. But I'm enjoying it quite well, so I'll give it an 8. Kind of sad I only had one. I should have kept 2. Calculate. It ended up with a 77. Huh. I guess I was a little harsher on it than I thought. I was expecting it to be... And that's on the upper end of fair.
Yeah. But, this scale is a little harsh by its nature.
Yeah.
But still, that's not bad. I'm always tempted to go back and change my numbers if I don't get the score I like. It's like, nah, it really deserves more. I was giving it 25 for aroma, even though that's off the scale.
Oh, it doesn't check to make sure you're not putting crap in?
No, it doesn't. You know, I thought about making it check, and wait, I could use my favorite line. It's feature, not a glitch. It's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, so that way you can cheat if something's really good.
Well, kind of what I was thinking is, I like this beer judging scale, and the categories are relatively standard, but if somebody else had a different scale, and they were like, I think, I don't know, balance isn't that important. They'd be idiots. But let's say they thought balance should be out of 10, and they put those other 10 points into the malt or something. They could adjust the scale, and, you know, as long as they kept it in mind, they could judge it on their scale that they had made up, and it would still act as a basic calculator. So I was like, I might as well give people the ability to do that. On the other hand, some dummy's probably going to put in the wrong number and then get mad at me. But, like, 12 people have the app, so I'm not worried.
Well, you know. So, well, cool. I'm a little surprised that it scored it as harshly as it did, but I'm quite pleased that this IPA aged as well as it did. I was kind of afraid I'd open it up and be like, oh, that didn't age well.
Like that last mystery bottle I found in the basement?
Yeah.
That's not aging well. That's just going bad.
Okay, yeah, you might be right about that.
So, well, while I finish this one off, Madman, you want to start on yours?
Sure. The first one I'm going to try out is actually a Shock Top that I've already tried once and didn't like, which was weird because I pretty much love their stuff. I'm going to try the Shock Top Pumpkin Wheat again and just see if it needed to grow on me.
I need to find the hate mail you got, because you got some fantastic hate mail for your opinion of Shock Top on this show.
Did I only get one? I only saw the one. I didn't actually pull up the rest of it.
I didn't see find that. What the hell? I'll get it in a minute. So, anyways, let's see. I'm trying to find that hate mail. Madman, you go ahead with your beer review there.
Currently smelling just to get the balance. It's a Hefeweizen, so wheat I never really think has a particularly strong smell. I still get the like there's a pumpkin scent to it. And I'm pretty much getting pumpkin and hops. It's got a mellow wheat beer taste, and I'm getting some of the pumpkin. Yeah, still don't care for this beer. I mean, it's not bad. Like I said before, I'm going to drink it, but I'm just not going to buy pumpkin wheat again.
Shock Top does not redeem itself on this particular beer.
No.
That marketing guy's going to be mad. You're going to get more hate mail.
Oh, was it actually a Shock Top marketing guy? Because that even did better.
I would like
I don't
to believe
think
it,
it
is.
Was. I'm trying to no, find the email is. Now. It was written like somebody was drunk.
Oh, well. It was a drunk Shock Top marketing guy, that.
I'm trying to find it now. I'm still not finding it. Rofaxon, what do you got there, man?
Well, I don't actually have beer for the first round. I have cider, because I don't think I've reviewed cider on this show. I can't really remember, but I don't think I have. Anyway, I have Angry Orchard Hard Cider Crisp Apple, because they've got a bunch, and they've got a cinnamon one that's actually really good, but I don't have that, so, you know. I can't really put it on my beer judging scale because you don't smell hops or malt or any other part of beer because it's not beer. But it's a good beer. I mean, it's a good cider. It's got a nice apple smell to it. And it's got a nice apple flavor, as you would suspect. It's good, though, because it's not overly sweet and it's not overly dry. I feel like ciders are generally speaking too dry or too sweet. There's a local place around here, and I had some ciders from there, and they're just always entirely too dry, which you want a touch of sweetness in a cider because it's apple-based. And then there's other ones that are just, like, way too sweet. And I think it really strikes a nice balance between the sweet and dry, and you really get a nice apple-y taste. So, it would probably fall into the good category. You know, it's not, like, amazing. It's not the best cider I've had in the world. But, it is the best commercial cider I've had. I brewed a cider myself once, which was actually amazing and is much better than this. Then I brewed it again with the exact same recipe and it tastes like crap, so I don't know what I did wrong. But, Angry Orchard is a really good cider company. I'm coming to really like them. So, I don't know. I think I'd probably give it a good if I had to throw it in a category.
Just a good. Okay.
What's well, the it's difference between excellent. Making hard cider and beer? Or just, how do you make hard cider in general?
All I did, it was, I used organic cider, but I just, I put the cider in a carboy, and then I added some, like, standard chemicals, the kind of the same stuff you'd use for mead, but really not many. And then I added yeast, and then I put an airlock on it. That's it. There's no mixing. There's no recipe. It's just basically you throw apple cider in a carboy, and then you add yeast, and then you just let it set. It's super easy to make. And I have no idea why it came out really great the first time and really crap the second time. Maybe it's more unpredictable. But
here it is.
Yeah,
I found the
really
feedback
easy.
Finally.
Was it possibly some contamination when you were making it?
Yes, very possibly. The most important thing with home brewing is sanitation, and my biggest weakness is sanitation. So, and I know I've got a couple beers. At least two, probably more, but I've got a couple beers that got some sort of infection because it doesn't work.
An unintentional sour beer?
Yeah, basically. An unintentional sour, yeah.
I still want to try one of those because that's one category of beer I don't think I've ever tasted.
Sort of like your surprise Cajun style when you accidentally leave your chicken in the oven too long.
Yeah, exactly. You know, with my mess-ups, it's never been good. They've been sour, but the one especially was sour, but it wasn't good. I don't think I'd like the style, but I would like to try it just to know what it's actually supposed to taste like.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've not gone for a purposely sour before, so I don't know what they're supposed to taste like. So.
Yeah, it's, and you know, they're always expensive, which is fine. I don't mind paying a decent price for beer, but the concept just doesn't sound good, so it's hard to be like, okay, here's like $8 for two beers.
For sour beer, yeah.
It's like, sour. It's like, oh, that's a mistake. You're supposed to actually want it.
But
go ahead, Batman.
Many great things in alcohol started out as a mistake. Champagne was a fuck-up. Somebody screwed it up and made champagne. And now it's very expensive.
I suppose that is a fair point. I suppose the original alcohol was probably a fuck-up, too. It's like, oh, let me put my bread out in this barrel with no lid on it.
That's been the theory that, you know, because nobody knows who invented beer.
And it has been around forever. Like, what culture doesn't have... Well, I mean, let's say an alcoholic beverage, because I don't think Japanese culture had beer. They had sake. But, you know, they didn't have grain.
They went for rice wine, and... well, Europe mostly went for mead, I think, early on.
Yeah, early on, mead was their first big drink. Them and, like, the Norse culture was mead first, and so was, what's its face? Egypt. Egypt was mead to begin with.
Well, did wine come before beer? I mean, if you don't count mead, then mead's not really a wine, but some people kind of classify it as a wine, so.
That's a really good question. I think both of those have kind of been lost to antiquity, like who made the first beer. Now, I will say, mead is older than current beer, as in hops and malts, because it used to be they did not use hops to bitter the beer. They'd use other things. What's it called? Heather was a big one. And I actually really want to try this. So you make beer, but instead of using hops, you use heather as the bittering agent. Pretty good. I don't know where
cool.
You buy heather, though.
Yeah. So, Madman, I found your hate mail here. From somebody called Shock Top Lover. Message body was, I hate you right now so much, Madman. How dare you disrespect Shock Top?
Well, in my defense, the reason I even got pumpkin wheat is Shock Top generally rocks. This is the first time I've bought something from Shock Top and didn't think it was the most awesome thing on the planet.
Well, I'm not going to read the rest of the feedback here because he was threatening to burn your house down with flaming cats, and but then he agrees with you that anything with pumpkin is gross. Whatever.
So... Shock Top, just because it's Shock Top, it should have been awesome, even though it has pumpkin in it. That's what I'm getting from his feedback here.
That is brand loyalty right there.
That's brainwashing
with felines. I mean,
I haven't found anything from the Kentucky Brewing Company yet that I disliked, but if I do, I'll tell them it sucks.
Now, I wonder, because, like, what's the best-selling beer in the world? It's probably, like, some sort of Budweiser, I would assume.
But that's just Budweiser.
It's just quantity. I mean, they
but
just
I
so
wonder,
much.
If we review a Budweiser, and I'm going to bring a Budweiser to this show someday. I just have to get over the fact that then I'd have to drink it, which is not pleasant. If we review a Budweiser and give it really low marks, do you think we'll get, like, twice as much hate mail because, like, seven times more people drink it? That's some good math there.
I don't know. Now, it's interesting you mentioned Budweiser because my dad turned me on to this
Bud
Budweiser.
Light?
No.
Bud with a lie.
It was the special, and it was a darker version of Budweiser. Mm. And it was actually pretty decent. So, I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but it was better than the regular stuff.
Not surprising. Well, so. You know, they've got a bunch of microbreweries that they've bought up. I think Goose Island, I think that's owned by Budweiser, but I wouldn't swear to that. And they've got a lot of decent microbreweries. Well, sort of, kind of microbrewery. They've got a bunch of decent beer that they sell as if it was a microbrewery. So you see this new name, and you're like, oh, I've never tried this before. And you try it, and it's actually pretty good. But if you, like, look into it, it's actually something that Budweiser made. So they're capable of making good beer. They just choose not to.
Well, I think one of the reasons they don't... Well, one, why mess with something that's making them that much money?
That's
and,
a good point.
But two, I would imagine the regular Bud and Bud Light is probably fairly cheap to produce in quantity the way they do.
Yeah.
Which is why they can sell it, you know, for a 24-pack for $3 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I guess they actually use a lot of corn in it. Not like
rice.
It's all corn.
They use rice. A lot of rice in it.
Oh, do they? Oh, I thought they used corn in it.
No, they switched to rice because you can get a higher alcohol content without adding as much of a flavor characteristic.
Okay.
So it's barley like traditional beer, and then they mix in rice and try to up the alcohol content and save on their barley.
All right, well, there you go. You know, I don't want to be too much of a beer snob, but I kind of like the... There used to be a law in Germany, and it's not a law anymore. But to call it beer, to get... And I just like the German for beer, which is like beer, but still. Spelled with a B-I-E-R. Anyway, to actually sell it as beer, as opposed to, like, barley beverage, it could only have hops, malts, water, and yeast. If it had anything other than those four ingredients, so if you were making, like, a coffee stout, you had to get those coffee notes from your chocolate malts and stuff like that. You couldn't even add, like, a teaspoon of coffee. It had to be those four ingredients and nothing else. Part of me thinks that's going a little too far, because if I want to add some coffee to my beer to give it some interesting flavor profiles, that's fine. But part of me is like, ah, it's actually kind of cool that you could only have those four main ingredients, or you could not market it as beer. There's the bigger question, do you think your government can really define beer? But I don't want to get into that.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I agree with you there. I don't like them having anything to say on it one way or the other. But you can still make it, you just have to call it something else. You just don't put the word beer on the label.
A lot of older beers use something to attract insects to get the yeast into it, like honey or berries or something. So you can say the fruity beers that I occasionally like trying, like a cherry lambic, that cherry was in there for a reason originally and may predate beer that with just those four ingredients. So is that not beer?
That's a fair point. Well, and you've got the whole question, even though we say that beer is those four ingredients, it really did used to be made with heather. So what's heather beer? According to the German purity law, which has been repealed, incidentally, that wouldn't be considered beer, even though it was called beer before what we call beer today was called beer. And that's kind of why I think the law went too far in a lot of ways. But on the other hand, it just kind of irritates you when somebody puts rice in their beer because they want to get, like, more alcohol and less flavor. It kind of irritates me that the whole goal of brewing for, like, standard Budweiser beers, let's make this have as little flavor as possible. Well, there's a goal.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, but I mean, you know, hell, I mean, people don't know what they're missing, and it's cheap, so they don't see any reason to screw with it.
That's true. Yeah,
that's purely a marketing perspective. I mean, you know, it may be 10 years from now that nobody buys Budweiser because why would you drink that? You know, everything goes to specialties, but I doubt it. Truthfully,
No, I think it's unlikely.
Not everything going to specialties. I can see something toppling Budweiser as king of beer, but it's not going to be specialties.
No, but it might be something with a bit more flavor in it.
Yeah. The reason I'm thinking it's not going to be specialties is specialties have found out that they can charge a premium for their beer. And to topple Budweiser, you're going to have to charge it more as a commodity rather than a premium.
Yeah. So, I've moved on to the Bourbon Barrel Ale. I've got some Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale. I'm not going to rate it because we've already rated this beer on the show 2 or 3 times, I think.
Well, each one of us has rated it separately, I believe, is what's happened.
Oh, is it gotten to that point?
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about it, and then Rofaxen just decided to try it out, or already wanted to try it out, and then heard us speak of it and realized that he must try it out.
Well, no reason to rate it again. It is quite tasty. It's just, that's just what I happen to have next. So, actually, though, Rofaxen, do you save your beer bottles? I mean, for when you're doing home brewing, do you just save your commercial bottles and rinse them out?
Yeah.
How do you get the labels off? Because I made a mess out of a couple of these things.
All right, there's two answers. The first answer is the right one. You get super, super, super hot water. And you throw them in there, and you let them sit in the soup, like as hot as it will come out of your tap water. Or I think you can even boil them. I've not done that, but you get super hot water, and you fill the sink or whatever, and you let them soak in there, preferably overnight. Then you, like, peel the labels off. They come off okay. There's a little scrubbing, and you run the super, like, wear gloves, and run super hot water over them as you scrub the labels off.
Yeah, I tried that, and that's how I made a mess, so.
Okay, well, that's the first way. Or you could do it the Rofaxen method. Rinse them out and use them, because really, you're not going to get confused and be like, oh, this says Kentucky Bourbon Ale. I think it's a Kentucky Bourbon Ale. It's got a different cap. You'll figure it out. Now, I don't take my labels off anymore. I'm too lazy.
Oh,
it's
okay.
The thing is, when you sanitize your bottle, you're sanitizing the whole thing. You're dunking it in the sanitizer. You sanitize the paper or two. After 5 or 6 times, the label starts to fall off on its own.
Well, there you go. Okay.
That's seriously how I do it, because I'm lazy. Yeah,
I was trying to do that the other day, and I did the hot water trick, and a couple of them came off fine, but then one of them, it just, like, the paper separated, and it's just like, ah, damn it, because now I'm going to have to run and get a scrub pad or something and really go to town on them.
Oh, I hate it when the paper separates, because then, too, when you're letting, like, the water out, it, like, clogs up your drain, and God, it's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't deal with it.
I made a mess, so.
Yeah, well, I figure almost all beers have some collar to their cap, you know, to match their label. And the stuff I homebrew is that brass collar. So I'm like, if it's brass, it's homebrew. And I used to have the letter on top of it to mark my beer, but then I got too lazy to do that. So if it's a brass cap and it's in a six-pack that doesn't match all the other beers in there, then it must be homebrew.
That's one way to do it.
I'm not saying it's the best. I'm just saying it's one.
Well, I was curious what you did, because you know, I bought a box of bottles, and it's like, you know, that seems kind of wasteful to throw all these away and then have to go buy them again. So it's like, well...
Yeah, it is. Well, and the first time I bought a box of... I bought one box of bottles to get started, and then as I drink the homebrew, I just rinse it out.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But what you'll find is there'll be a lot of times when, I don't know, maybe you have three or four, and homebrew is pretty strong, so there's going to be a couple bottles you don't rinse out the next day, and or it just gets like a ridiculous amount of sediment in it, and you let it sit overnight and you can't get that out, and it's not worth scrubbing them forever. So I just supplement that with like the commercial beers that I buy.
Gotcha.
And I always leave the label on. I've never had trouble. It doesn't look as nice. So what I usually do if I'm going to like give someone a six pack, I keep the ones that like I bought and are nice and clean and look pretty and give those away. But then the ones I'm just drinking for myself, I leave the label on. And I do the same thing with wine bottles. I bought a box of wine bottles a long time ago, and if I'm gifting wine, then I give them the fancy ones that I bought. But if I'm just drinking it myself, I do the other kind. And I've got a homebrew wine rack and if we buy wine from the store, it'll just be in the refrigerator, so I don't mix them up too much.
There you go. Okay, cool. I was just curious as to how you handled that, so.
That's what I do.
So, Madman, what's your second beer of the night there, man?
It's Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Oh, well, you're drinking the same damn thing I am, so.
Yes, I am.
No need to review it again. Go on, Earl Faxon. Tell me
it's
you've got
much better than Shock Top Pumpkin Weed, if anyone's wanting to send me hate mail.
Yes. We need to set you up a specific Madman at Galaxy 15 Radio account just so they can send you hate mail.
Well, I'm actually very shortly going to be probably joining you in the Kentucky Bourbon. And because we lost the last show, I just have to say, okay, this is the stout version, Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Stout. Is the best commercial beer I've had in a very long time. There's actually only one I liked better, and that was Brood Awakening, which is only sold in the UK. It is an amazingly good beer, and on my app, it got a 96, which is excellent, and it's a very rare score to get that high. But I have another one to judge. In the theme of ciders, I have a Woodchuck Amber hard cider. So it's nice to try these two ciders next to each other, just like side by side. The Woodchuck isn't bad. It used to be my favorite cider, and if you want a decent cider, yeah, definitely get it. I would say it's closer to the fair category, though. It's not as pronounced apple-y. I mean, here, let me try it. It's good. The aroma's not there at all. I mean, Angry Orchard totally blows it out of the water with aroma. And the apple cider itself, again, it's good. It's sweet enough, probably a little too sweet. Not much. But there's not heavy apple characters. You drink it and you think, that's good. And I guess it's apple. Whereas the Angry Orchard is you drink it and it's like, that's good apple. So, I hate to put down Woodchuck because I think it is actually a really good cider. But compared to Angry Orchard, it's not nearly as good. So if you're going to get a cider, you should get an Angry Orchard. If you can't find that, then get a Woodchuck. If you like sweet things, the Woodchuck's a little bit sweeter. So, yeah, I'd put it, it's fair. I'd buy it again if it's on sale. But, yeah, the Angered Orchard is better.
Have you ever tried Red's Apple Ale?
I got some of that one time. I've been meaning to get some more to actually do on the show. And I just keep forgetting about it every time I'm in the store.
I have tried it.
Is it a cider or is it actually beer with apple flavoring in it?
It's a cider.
I don't remember what it tastes like. Man, I remember the bottle extremely clearly, and I tried it, but I think it's a cider.
It's a cider. It was very light. It had very little beer flavor.
Wasn't it very not sweet at all, like really dry.
It tasted like they tried to ferment apple juice, truthfully.
Well, I know I never bought it again, so that can't be a good sign.
It didn't impress me, but I mean, it wasn't like bad. I drank them. I mean, it's not like I threw them out or anything. So,
it's been a really long time since I tried that. I'll have to get that again one of these days.
I've been meaning to get it again just to do on the show, but I just, like I said, I never think about it when I'm actually in any place to get it.
Yeah. I really want to do Pabst Blue Ribbon on the show.
Why?
No. Hilarious. But it's so gross.
If we're going to do it, what we got to do is get somebody else on the show to do it. Somebody else who's kind of got that hipster-ish vibe to them. Who do we know that drinks Pabst?
We need to get an Australian, because in Australia, that is high-end commercial beer.
Good Lord, you want to get RU on here drinking Pabst? Well, no, RU was excited to drink Budweiser when he came to the States, so...
Oh, dear.
Well, he's been taught that it's good beer, so it's not a punishment for him.
No, I mean, it's not that it's bad, it's just like, what, really? Sort of like the first time he was here, he wanted to go to Applebee's. I was like, what? Okay. I mean, it's just, you know, they have different brands, so apparently Budweiser's kind of hard to get in Australia. So, because the import cost, it ends up really expensive.
Yeah, the import really kills things. I was in, when I was in Ireland, I took a picture of it because it's hilarious. You could get Guinness for like £4.75, and you could get a Budweiser for £5. So the Budweiser was actually more expensive than the Guinness. And I was like, and the thing that really irritated me is there are these idiot American girls. They're just really, first of all, they were like seductive dancing to like this. There were just these two guys in the bar, like playing local Irish music, obvious Irish music, and they're doing all this like weird poppy dancing to it. And it's like, okay, that doesn't work on any level. And then they were paying drunk more for Budweiser than they were drinking Budweiser, which was more expensive than Guinness. And I was like, what the hell?
Now, that's interesting that they would actually even bother to go for the good Budweiser, because usually when you see party girls like that, they usually want to go for something, you know, else. Mm-hmm. Like usually they don't even bother with beer. They go straight for a wine cooler or something fruity or...
Yeah. Now I don't know. You have a certain level where they start drinking beer, a certain special trashy type of girl who... they were super
trashy. It's like the
strip
joint around here where they've got bullet holes and C-section scars.
Yeah,
so,
pretty
I mean,
much.
You know.
It's one of those things where they're like wearing belly shirts and their belly's flopping out of it. And it's like, that's not what those are for.
Those aren't party girls. Those are something else. And I'm not that rude to say them on the show. I am that rude, but I just don't feel like saying that.
Well,
say
they were young. They weren't ridiculously fat, but they sure did show their stomachs were, it's gross. It was one of those times, and I mean, okay, so I live in America, in case anybody doesn't know that. I think it's pretty obvious. I don't normally think, like, oh, Americans are stupid, but it was just one of those times where it's like, maybe I should just say I'm Canadian.
Be Canadian to avoid the embarrassment.
Yeah. I mean, they were like, then they started doing the electric slide, and it's like, yeah, I'm Canadian. I'm going to go with that.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm pretty much out of stuff to drink. I've got my bourbon I'm going to sip on now, but that's not to review or anything. That's just a drink. Because the liver is evil and must be punished.
Exactly.
So, I'm pretty much out of stuff, so if you guys got anything, go nuts.
Well, I'll just say one more time, because I know the other show's not out. Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Stout is just an amazingly good beer. I just can't stress that enough, and it's expensive. It's like $14 or $15 Between 13 and 15. I forget what I paid for it now. I think it's 13 something.
It depends on where you are. It's between 10 and whatever you're quoting.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It's more expensive here. I think it was like 13 something. So even if this beer is like $17 for a 4-pack, buy it. Because Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Stout is absolutely my favorite beer at the time. It's amazing. Just buy it and try it. That's all I can say.
Well, that's because we've lost the last episode, I guess I should point out. Madman actually helped me with it a couple of weeks ago. I have a batch of Bourbon Barrel Stout fermenting right now. It's been a week in the primary, and we moved it into the secondary last week, and I'm going to give it a month in the secondary before I bottle it. And it's going to be Bourbon Barrel Stout, and if it tastes close to the Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Stout, I will be happy.
Nice. Oh, did you get those like bourbon chips or something?
Yeah, I did, but they're probably embedded in the trub at this point. So, Madman, I don't know that you really want to smoke with them. but Madman claimed the bourbon barrel chips after I was done using them to ferment my beer. So.
All it requires is rinsing them off, and anything that's possibly gross are going to be burned off of it, right?
I would think so.
Well, I don't know how gross it's going to be. I mean, the trub at the bottom of it is what they make. I've been drinking. What's that shit in Australia? The spicy, the salty stuff.
Vegemite.
Yeah, that's what they make Vegemite out of, isn't it?
I'm thinking it's the trub from primary fermentation.
Oh. Well,
yeah,
I mean...
Still, rinse
Vegemite
it.
Is mostly yeast poop.
I thought alcohol was yeast poop. But, I don't know. I mean, the real bitch is going to be getting him out of the carboy.
Oh, that's going to be a pain. You know what you could do? Okay, because you're not... You're going to have to sanitize later, obviously, but you have to do that anyway. Just get, like, for your garden hose, if you have a garden hose, one of those, like, spray things, and just, like, spray that in there, and then turn it upside down and keep spraying it in there. It actually works pretty good.
Yeah, just run water through it to get them all out, and
yeah.
Guess what? Use a strainer to catch all the little wood chips. But
I was thinking let them fall on the grass and then pick them up, but your way is probably more sanitary.
I don't know. I'm not sure how well... I mean, after spending a month soaking in... Well, that might actually be pretty good to smoke with. I don't know that there's going to be enough of them there to smoke with.
That's what I was thinking when you put them in there was quantity more than would it work, would it taste good. I'm thinking there's just not going to be enough to bother with.
They're probably not.
Yeah, I don't know how much you need, because I don't do smoking. I don't know how much you need to really get, like, the flavor imparted or whatever.
A couple good chunks will do it.
Yeah.
And you don't need enough to actually supply the heat, but a few chunks or chips would do pretty good.
I mean, before we brewed it, there was probably enough there, but they had it chopped up into such small pieces, it'd probably smoke off too fast. So, I don't know. If the recipe comes out good, we may try to do a few other bourbon barrel recipes and getting the chips again. It might be easier just to go buy, you know, they sell the bourbon barrel slabs. Might be easier to get one of those and just chunk it yourself. So, I don't know. First thing, you might get saw blade flavor in your beer.
Could be good. Could be a new thing.
Good old metal flavor. That's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. You could do a clever name like Heavy Metal Stout. Because
good,
it tastes like
heavy
metal.
Heavy metal poisoning from drinking the stout.
That makes it manly.
Just put a picture of Jack Black on the label right there. If anybody who doesn't get that joke, I can't help you. I'm sorry. So, Like what? Jack Black's not metal?
Yeah. Tenacious D all the way.
Just D, but. Anyways, that's all I've got. You guys want to close it out? What are we at time-wise? We're about 45 minutes. It's a little early, but I don't have anything to close it out with because we're still rebuilding the server. I don't have all my soundboards put back up on it yet. We can play the Red Dwarf thing again. All right. I'm just going to hit stop.